The morning lesson that I read to you really is a very powerful bit of scripture. It's very intimidating, but it sounds very much as we imagine Paul must have sounded more often than not in the days of the early Christian church. The powerlessness of the manger became really the ridicule by society toward those who were saying were followers of Jesus Christ. And when you talked about the cross, they go, who wants to follow somebody who was killed that way? Imagine him hanging on the cross, his heart broken, no friends, friends betraying him. How terrible it was. And you think he is the Messiah. I've got news for you. The Jews were saying this. So were the Gentiles who were just suddenly getting acquainted with the idea of the teachings of this rabbi. Who was teaching strange things about forgiveness and love and hope and eternal life. Now, there was a kind of intellectual craving which stimulated the Greek mind, and it kept very serious in their quest to have absolute perfection in this life. Sort of self-knowledge that if you know everything and you are happy with everything, then you've got it made. So you don't really have to do anything else. Well, on the higher level, as represented by the best Greek thought, you might say that man's philosophy or wisdom always aimed toward God, which they didn't want us to mention. They didn't want to mention it. But it had to be something so far beyond this life that their perfection would be what? Accepted. In tune. You have a lot of that going on really in our world today where someone really wants to say, well, boo, you can't prove it by me. What? Just about everything, right? And yet definitions can never be translated into a living experience that move the heart, that give direction to your will, that transform your human spirit into something better. The reality of falling in love probably is the best example I can give. You can't really define it, can you? Can you? You can't. You fall in love. Okay. Why? Well, you can't really explain it, can you? It's here, it's here, it's your whole being. This is what Paul was trying to get across to these early Christians and to this society, which really were denying absolutely everything he was teaching. Now, the Greeks tried to understand this idea of God in Christ philosophically. But they couldn't really quite grasp it philosophically. It was just beyond them. How can you talk that way? How can you say, well, Paul gave a cutting contrast to Jewish thinking. Did you notice those lessons I was reading to you? And there were lessons in that brief amount of scripture. The foolishness, not only of man, but the foolishness of God is larger than our stupidity. The Romans, again, couldn't accept all of this stuff. Their civilization was powerful. It was built on the mighty sword. There has to be something more. I guess the closest contrast that I can give today is the almighty dollar, because we talk about it more often than anything else. And every time we go to a grocery store or fill up the car, we talk about money, don't we? We do. What's going to happen? It's happened before. It's happened before. God's still in charge. It's easy for preachers to say. Not really. It's not easy. It's strong. That was the cross. That really was the cross You know, reactionary thinking has always been a part of our civilization. I might add it does nothing to strengthen the kingdom of God whatsoever or to improve your personal journey with Jesus Christ. You still have to do this. I can remember the fellow a long time ago when I was coming into here as a pastor. And the person said, "What are you going to preach?" And I said, "Jesus Christ." Never heard from him again. Never did. Christ crucified. Christ crucified was a colossal, colossal offense to the Jews. Terrible. Had he been a brave knight coming in with a horse and a sword to conquer, or a David coming in to slow a Goliath, or any of our modern day generals, it would have been a different story. The cross was not heroic or powerful. It was weakness, it was ridicule, it was very, very demeaning. And they couldn't buy the idea that a Messiah, a Savior, a Son of God, you're kidding. Now, you've got to admit that Paul gave the cross a very powerful, powerful definition. And the people were looking at it and saying, "Wow, this is something. The way you're talking about it, through Jesus Christ crucified, a whole new concept of God's power and God's love came flooding into the world." And while the idea behind a cross, it was foreign to the Greco-Roman Empire, their thinking didn't capsule that into their mind. Such folly on God's part transcends all human wisdom and weakness. The cross is transforming, and it exceeds any kind of human power that we may have or think we have. On the cross, Jesus Christ revealed to the world the power of God and a love so intense, for those who watched him there felt the power and love in their own being. Wow, I can feel that. And they didn't understand it, because philosophically you can't define that, and you can't define falling in love, can you? You can't. It's this kind of witness that Paul is writing about. It's this kind of witness. It shows faith in God. Now, it's up to us to believe that. Now, the real hope of the world, I'm convinced, lies in understanding God's purpose. We pray it every week: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yet, it's only achieved beyond that prayer as persons, as men and women, in every age, make their individual response to the high calling of God and Jesus Christ. It's that way with you, it's that way with me. All we have to do is hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, to practice what it says. You know, after nearly 59 years standing behind a pulpit trying to make sense to people about why it's good and why they come and why they leave and why you're here in the first place, it's because of the cross. God tried and still tries to get through to us, I'm convinced of that. But the only way it worked was that divine love on the cross. That love which was so amazing and so divine. This is what God chose. When sin and malice, misunderstanding and hatred have done their worst and still do their worst, just to go on loving proved to be the way to victory, and God saw this necessary. You see, there's an ultimate quality that's required for love, an ultimate quality. It must endure the worst and yet remain true to itself. It must sustain the most shattering defeat and still be in love. Isn't it that way? The love expressed on the cross is purpose, its power, its wisdom. The love rejected on the cross is that higher wisdom that Paul is talking about in his lesson. It haunts the heart and troubles the conscience, and it leads men and women to repentance and spiritual renewal. In Fort Meade this morning, they sang their closing hymn, Jesus Saves. Barbara said, I've never sung that before. I haven't sung it in a long time. But it's still the truth, and this is what the cross is telling us. The cross. The divine love from the cross has outlasted Rome. It's outlasted the Greek Empire. It's outlasted Egypt. It goes beyond the pyramids. It's in desperate need right now in our nation. Because I believe it still can shake the heart and transform those who receive its power. Its power. Now, people can still block the doors to their mind and to their heart and to their soul. And yet Jesus still stands at the door and knocks, because there is no doorknob on the outside of that painting, if you've noticed. Because the only way that Jesus can get in is if you open it from the other side. It's still that way, isn't it? Can you welcome Christ into your heart and into your life? The word of the cross is the dominant theme in all of Paul's letters to the early church. It's the echo of divine love that Paul amplifies. It's the same sound we need to hear, I think, on this particular Sunday. Not just here in Bartow, but everywhere. You know, the words of the old hymn come to me. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe. Supreme love. Supreme love for us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.